It's time for Golf DMV, highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Low handicap, high handicap, or somewhere in between. If you love golf, you're in the right place. And now, here is Claude Jennings.
It's Golf DMV on 1500 AM, Federal News Network. You can listen online at federalnewsnetwork.com. Also on Podcast One, you can hear us as well. Be sure to subscribe, rate us, leave a review, all that other kind of stuff. I'm Claude, the host. And again, this is the second week that we've been on radio. And so we'll continue to kind of introduce and reintroduce ourselves and some of the concepts here on the show. We've got Vern. Vern, what's up?
What's up?
And we've got LB. LB, what's going on?
Glad to be here.
So here's the thing. We're doing the show kind of remote. It's been a crazy travel week for Golf DMV. So I've been in Utah, Logan, Utah, actually right on the campus of Utah State University doing some work. LB, you were in Portland and now you're in Louisville, right?
I'm in the Lou. Yes.
Yeah. Be sure to say Louisville because those people get upset if you say Louisville. It's Louisville. We have a lot to talk about, man. We've got a great interview with the general manager at Whiskey Creek in the second segment of the show. And so coming up after the top of the hour, the news break there, we'll interview Ted Goodnow. I keep saying Todd. You got, and you'll hear this throughout the interview. Like, it's crazy. So anyway, we've got an interview with him coming up at the top of the after the top of the hour this Sunday morning. Also, we're going to review our round at Whiskey Creek. Talk about some of the things there at that beautiful course there in Maryland. But first, we want to talk a little bit about some of the things happening on the PGA Tour. Did you guys know about this whole Wyndham Rewards Top 10 thing that was going on? I literally just found out about this week. I guess I wasn't paying attention a whole lot. So basically, Wyndham Rewards has this Top 10, and so right before the FedEx playoffs, there's a $10 million bonus payout that's divided between the top 10 players. And of course, Brooks Koepka won that $2 million. Now, the funny thing was, I think Rory McIlroy finished second, and he had maybe 1.5 or something like that. Matt Kuchar finishes third. He's got 1.3. And so there's like, or 1.2. So there's a couple $100,000 difference between he and Rory McIlroy. And I think McIlroy beat him out by 1 point to get that couple $100,000 over him. And so Kuchar's like, man, just 1 point, 1 point in the press conference. And then Rory McIlroy says, well, you all know how Matt gets about his money. And I thought that was funny because of how he still was at.
Yeah, I saw that too. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, just kind of ripped him there a little bit. Yeah, no, that was real funny. But did you guys know about this whole Wyndham Rewards thing?
Well, yeah, we did because when we talked about it, I guess in our last show, we talked about all the money that Brooks had won. So we talked about him winning that the Wyndham Rewards as well. That was that. So like in that.
Wait a minute. Wait,
that,
wait. We talked about that on the show?
Yeah.
And I was on the show.
And you were on the show. Yeah. Well, we didn't go into it in detail. We just highlighted how Brooks had won $4.7 million.
Yeah.
That one day, and that was because he won the tournament and he won the Aon Risk Reward Challenge,
right.
And he won the Wyndham bonus as well. So yeah, he hit on that particular day, which was I guess that was when he won. What was that the other day? He won the when he won the PGA at the St. Jude when mm-hmm. he won that. Yeah, he won $4.7 million that day because of those three, the tournament, the AOM reward bonus, and the Wyndham bonus. Right.
Clearly, I don't listen to the show. I was on the show. So for some of you guys, listen, I do morning radio in the DMV, and sometimes I'm doing 4 hours of traffic and weather, and I'm done with the show at 10 o'clock, and I'm like, what's the weather going to be today? So literally, I can talk and say things without even paying attention to what I'm saying, which is
zero retention.
Yeah, exactly. It's nuts. And so, so Brooks is winning big on tour, winning the money. You see the AI Risk Rewards stuff. Now, here's what's interesting. The FedEx Cup playoffs, what I love about it this year, three events, they're back to back to back. But the final event, it's not about scoring the most points. I think everything resets and you get certain strokes based on where you are. And so Brooks literally will have he'll start with a 2-stroke lead over the second place person. And so that's kind of how they do it to make these first 2 weeks still meaningful for those who may not have a ton of FedEx Cup points.
Yeah, I don't understand the points. I knew they were going to do something, and I heard them briefly talk about it. I think I saw a little bit of golf yesterday, and they were talking about it, but I didn't quite catch what was going on. I need more information on that part because I honestly, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. What about
yeah,
you?
Yeah, there's some. I know that there were some grumblings that's on the tour about how the points are divvied up and how the money is divvied up. I guess, and they want to make some tweaks to that. Because for a while there, I guess Paul Casey was in the lead is what I was leading. But, you know, before Brooks came from behind and destroyed everything. Yeah, yeah. So,
because what's interesting, though, was like, because like last year, Tiger won the last tournament and he got a ton of attention for it. But I think it was Justin Rose, right, who won the FedEx Cup. And so there were like two trophies given out on the same day. And like the one who won the $10 million, like, got no love. But at the same time, you're not Tiger, you know?
Right. And he's Rose. And Rose, like, he has the he has a personality of a Rose. I mean, to me, he's just an ant. You know what I mean? You know, but he doesn't move the needle. And I think the point, I remember Tony Kornheiser saying, or on his show, he mentioned something about when Rose won. I mean, the last shot, I think he was a bogey or double bogey or something. And when he gets it in, he raises his arms in victory, like he had done something. And he had. I mean, he had won the FedEx Cup. But he looked like a dope doing it, you know.
on a double bogey?
Yeah. No, you're right. So here's how it works, LB. So the top 125 players in the regular season FedEx Cup points, they qualify for the playoffs, right? Points in the first two are quadrupled. Now, at the Northern Trust, which they're playing right now, you know, we're recording this on a Friday, 55 players are going to be eliminated. So just the top 70 will advance to the second event.
Right.
After the second one, 40 more players will be eliminated in the top 30 move on to the playoffs finale, which is great. And so there's one less event. And so if you're the number one ranked player entering East Lake, which is the last tournament, you already start 10 under. And the second place person starts 8 under, third place 7 under, fourth place 6 under, and so on and so forth. Yeah. And so number 26 through 30, they start even par. So it's a way of rewarding great play the entire time and still making you catchable. Because if you enter in the last round with a ton of FedEx points, no matter how bad you play in some instances, I guess, and no matter how good the second place person plays, they still may not be able to catch you depending on how many points you have. So you can just kind of coast to a win. So it kind of makes it more competitive, I guess.
Right. I think I like the elements of trying to make the, you know, having the points where you make the rounds, all the rounds count, which is sort of like a mini version of what the Wyndham was trying to do too, right? Like put an emphasis on good play. I don't know about the starting. I mean, I guess you should get rewarded a little bit, but like, man, 10 under, that's a lot. I don't want a situation where in the final like round, like somebody's not catchable. I still want you to be able to be caught. You know what I mean? I want some drama there.
Talking about some drama, let's move to some players on tour. We'll start with LB's favorite guy, Sergio Garcia. This dude needs to be suspended. I mean, it all started, was it earlier this year? And it might not have been a PGA Tour event. It might have been a European Tour event where, you know, he's just in the sand trap, just swinging the club, right?
Like a kid having a tantrum, which is basically what he did. Mm-hmm. He took like four or five, you know, angry swings into the sand, just blowing sand all over the place. Then he stomps out of the trap like a little petulant little kid.
Right. No. A couple of weeks ago, didn't we see a story about him throwing his driver at his caddy?
Twice. Yeah. Yeah. He did it at the Open, and he did it maybe last week at WGC. WGC. Right. It's like St. Jude's Invitation, I think.
No. I mean, and here's the thing. There's just some conduct. Number one, this isn't even like a golf thing, to be honest with you. This is be an adult thing, right? Like, this is, why are you getting this frustrated as a pro? And you've seen the ups and downs of golf. You had your share of wins on tour. You won a major not too long ago, finally. And now you're in a sand trap and you're losing your temper, or something happens, you know, with a shot and you're flinging your, you know, driver at a caddy. Now, this is coming from somebody who has a 6-year-old son who loves golf. And I literally have to calm him down when he mishits a shot, because one time he saw Jimmy Walker screaming because he kept hitting the ball, you know, too far left. And he's like, I'm tired of this. So now every time my 6-year-old hits a bad shot, he does it because he thinks it's just what you do. You know, you got Sergio doing foolishness like this. Because I'll tell you one thing, if my 6-year-old throws his driver at me, he's gonna have trouble in that course.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem.
Exactly.
The other thing that Sergio did, I think, recently was he hit a bad tee shot, and he took his driver and, like, hit it into the green, into the tee box, and took out a big a big clump of dirt. That's one thing that got caught on camera, right?
Right, right. That was what happened. And then to your point, LB, about earlier this year, it was the Saudi International or something like that. And he took a gouge out of the green. And I didn't realize he got DQ'd for that.
Which he should have.
I mean, have some frustration. Snap a club and maybe swear and then move on to the next one. But having it extend to other people where you want to have attitudes with them, like, the exchange he had with Matt Kuchar about where he conceded the hole, he didn't listen, and he was like, oh, you need to forfeit the hole. You got too much attitude, man. You need to fall back, before somebody puts you in your place. I'm sorry. I don't know why I went straight.
Wow, yeah, that's Vernon going streets with golf here on Golf DMV, which is fine. I mean, we've got plenty of, that going on here at the DMV. So what's interesting, though, I'm just trying to figure out, when did all this start with Sergio? I mean, he's never really been, likable, but I've never seen him kind of go off like this. Like, I'm wondering what's going on with this guy.
I think it's gotten worse over the years, because that one, there's a video out there, and this one, I looked it up a while. I think it must have been 05-ish maybe or something like that, or maybe even earlier than that, when he spit into the he had made a bad putt or something. He finally got it in the hole, and then he spit into the cup.
Oh, goodness.
And Costas, I think it was Costas or Gray, asked him after the round, why did you do that? And he's like, oh, it was no big deal. It was, I hit it right in the center of the cup. Like, something like that made it so nobody would have to touch it when goodness. It got the ball out. Yeah. They asked him, they said, what about the next guy that got to go get his ball out of that cup? And Sergio said, he said, it was no big thing. I put it right in the center of the cup, so it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Come on, man. Yeah. Got to get out of here with that. But so now we also got another guy on the Europe. Well, he plays on the PGA Tour as well, but he plays a lot on the European Tour. Who's in trouble now? Is it Thorbjørn Olesen or something like that?
O-L-E-E-S. How you pronounce that?
Olesen, Thorbjørn Olesen.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll call him Olsen. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we'll call Olsen, him. Yeah. Call him Big O.
What'd he do?
So that's the guy. So he was. This was after. I forget the name of the the round he was at. Was it St. Jude's? It may have been that same one.
Might have been.
He was on his way back home. He got drunk on the plane, so he got basically charged with a sexual assault, drunkenness, and failing to comply with orders from the crew. And he was accused of molesting a woman and urinating in the aisle of the plane.
Yeah, it was the WGC FedEx St. Jude.
St. Jude, right. Okay, yep. Yeah, so he was on his way home from that. And apparently, I think it was Ian Poulter was on the same flight, and he had, tried to calm him down. And I guess he had for a while. But then Poulter went to sleep as if he was his handler. Right. And once he went to sleep, then Olsen started acting up again. And that's when he apparently, some woman tried to get on with some lady and she wasn't having it. And
from what I understand from the story, she was asleep and he just starts touching her.
I will give the European Tour credit. They have suspended him pending the investigation, and he has a court appearance scheduled for August 21st.
Right.
And I guess they'll make a decision after, whatever comes out of the court case, and then they'll make the decision. But I applaud them for suspending him. And I wonder about the PGA. I mean, at what point do they let Sergio? I mean, even though the two things are really not the same, I mean, this was an actual criminal offense this guy did, which I can see. And I applaud them for suspending him. What Sergio is doing is not a criminal offense. But in my opinion, it is an affront to what golf stands for.
Correct.
Yeah. And I agree with you, LB. And here's the, I don't want to do the, what if it was me type thing. But
yeah,
I mean,
sure.
Seriously, if one of the three of us, joined a nice elite golf club, I mean, our rope is going to be much shorter. Us out there cussing or slamming, damaging greens or throwing stuff at caddies, you can forget about it. You get, a regular guy does this to the club.
Yeah.
Unless you're own the club, you're getting kicked out. You know what I mean? And to go back to Olsen, I didn't realize it's, just for those who don't know, you don't follow the European Tour, maybe you think, this is some nobody, they can bury it. He's ranked 49th on the European Tour.
Right.
He doesn't play a full slate of the PGA, but he's up there. He's in a Ryder Cup. team.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So he's like a legit, you know, a face for that tour. So they have to come down and, like, you know, dole out some punishment.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You would think so. I mean, and who knows? This guy might be going to jail at some point in time. Who knows for all the other things that he did. It's the Golf DMV, Golf DMV on 1500 AM Federal News Network, podcast one as well. Just go to golfdmvpodcast@gmail.com for all things Golf DMV, including merchandise. Let's jump into Whiskey Creek, guys. We had a chance to play Whiskey Creek. I guess that's Urbana or Iamsville, whatever you want to call it. But we played Whiskey Creek not too long ago. Again, at the top of the hour, we're going to have our interview with the GM there. Had a fun time hanging out there with the guys. And so let's just talk about it. You guys have played the course before. This was my first time playing it. First, upon getting there, you drive up. The course, gorgeous. Just beautiful. I park my car. Before I can even step out the car, there's a gentleman who rides a cart down and says, hey, you know, what time's your tea time? I let him know. He's like, you know, well, here's a cart. Put your bag up there. You know, you can ride up if you want, or I can take you up there. It's totally up to you. You know, and so just from the time you park the car, the customer service was on point.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. No complaints at all about the service at all.
No,
none.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we get up there. We go to the clubhouse. We check in. I think LB and Vern, you guys were at the range, correct? I didn't take any shots or anything like that. But you guys at the range, we meet up. We talk to this guy, Joe, was it Joey or something? But he said, call him Jay. So we just called him Jay. He's the starter there. And it's funny because really nice guy, talks to you about the course, about your game. Real, real funny. We gave him a card. Hopefully he's listening. Shout out to Jay. LB, we'll talk about it a little bit in the next segment. Speech was a little long. I mean,
Yeah,
I'm looking at the watch like, okay, when is this guy going to be finished? But anyway, Whiskey Creek, great condition. Interestingly enough, the greens weren't as fast as I thought they'd be. They weren't as fast as Hampshire greens were the week before when we played them.
Good Lord.
Again, fairways great. The course was in great condition. Pace of play was fine. I mean, just everything was really, really great about this course. Probably, in my opinion. Now, again, I didn't play Worthington Manor with you guys, but if I had to rank a top three of what I've played so far this year in the DMV, the Woodlands there in Baltimore County is in the top three. Whiskey Creek's top three, and probably that round at Blue Mash. And I mean, that's how much I really enjoyed Whiskey Creek. Go ahead, Vern.
I was going to say, echo everything you said about the customer service. One thing that you'll hear from Ted, that's his name. from Ted Goodnow. No, one thing you hear from him that he said that I liked was that, you know, you can't control, which I don't know. I feel like maybe I should have heard this in life somewhere, but you can't control anything else about the golf course, but you can't control your service, how you treat people, how you interact with people. And, like Claude said, like LB said, all interactions are great. I left my four iron. You'll hear that later on, you know, and they brought it to me. Mm-hmm. Everything was good there. We were on the range, I went to the range. I think LB came up there a little bit. Not many people out there. Really nice practice area. Nice little range if you decide to go up there. Claude didn't need to, but I guess he'll get to that because since he had the low score of the round, you know, probably part of the reason he loves the course so much. But
No, that's funny. That is probably part of the course, because it's funny. We love courses that we play well. When we play well, LB, what are your thoughts on the course?
Yeah, it's always been in my top three in the DMV. One of the things we have to do, and we've said we're going to do, we have to upgrade our course play. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I love our Montgomery County courses, but we got to come out of that and start hitting some of these nicer courses. And Whiskey Creek is one of those. Mm-hmm. And it has always been that way too. I've never been there and not been happy with the course and the course conditions. Oh, and we have to give a shout out to Nick as well, don't we? Don't you take that back. Don't you, Claude, have to give Nick a shout out?
Oh, I do have to give Nick. So we're sitting there and we're talking to Ted Goodnow, the GM there at Whiskey Creek. And I think we've finished the interview. This guy comes out on the patio because that's where we recorded. And he says, hey, did anybody leave a wedding ring? I'm looking at my hand and like, oh, yeah. So I don't play with my ring on. I take it off because it just hampers like my grip. I just can't play with it on. So anyway, I take it off and I put it in the cart. And I just forgot to put it back on. I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah, Nick, you saved a marriage. And so thank you so much for that. Now, apparently in Dick's, it's funny, too. We were in Dick's Sporting Goods, my wife and I, actually. And we saw these little flexible wedding rings that you can buy for like $25. And she was like, you should buy this because you're always taking your ring off the plate. And I do. I'll leave it in the bag. I'll leave it out. And I'll just forget it. And I'm like, I don't need that. I don't need that. No, I'm not getting it. I don't need that. That's $25. I'm not spending that on a ring. And then what happens the very next time I'm playing? I leave my ring in the cart.
This is crazy.
So, yeah, shout out to Nick. But, yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know, you talk about the course upgrade. I never thought that I would be a golf course snob until we went to Vegas. And when we played, you know, Bears Best, and we played Revere, and I'm trying to remember the one Coach B and I played, Angel Park, I think is the name of it. Yeah.
Play Angel Park, I believe.
We're playing these courses, and I'm like, I do not want to go anywhere near. It don't have to be Marlton. I mean, it made other courses that I think are good courses look like Marlton. It's like, it's just a better experience. You know what I mean? But to Vern's point as well, you know, your course is your course, and you can't control some things. But like Ted said, you know, you can control how you treat the people who spend their money and come to your course. And so even if you've got a course that just the land itself is just not as majestic and the views aren't as great as a Whiskey Creek, you know, you can still, you know, have somebody come out, meet people at the cars, give them a cart. You can treat people with top-notch service and make it feel like they're at a top-notch course.
Right. And it's not much more, you know, when people go online and check it out, they might balk at the price a little bit. I mean, it's a little bit up there, you know, above the usual $75, $80 round. But I absolutely think it's worth it once or twice a year. I mean, I would do it more depending on, you know, whatever your level of income is. But once or twice a year, I do think it's worth it to go out to Whiskey or a Musket or a Worthington or something like that. And just drop a little coin, man. And like I said, like you said, Claude, like once you've experienced that, you kind of don't want to go back. And I'm going to defend you. I'm saying it doesn't make anybody a snob. I have a whole thing about this, which is just, we can go into that later, about people being particular about, basically, look, everybody has something. Like, if you drive a Benz, does that make you a car snob? No, it doesn't.
Okay.
You could technically be driving a 1992 Toyota Camry, but you don't want to. Exactly. You can afford better, so you're going to do a little bit better. So same with golf, man. Like, get out there and enjoy a nice course, you know, a hundo around, not too terrible or whatever. Do it twice a year. Enjoy it with your homies. Great course.
And that's the thing, to that point,
as far as the price point, I mean, you really are only talking, let's say on a Saturday, you would go play Falls Row or Hampshire Greens or even Northwest for that fact. If you play them on a weekend, you're going to play $70, $75 or something like that.
Right.
You throw $25 with that, now you're at Whiskey Creek.
That's true.
You know what I mean? You're not talking, in my opinion, well, again, I put that in air quotes, you know, in my opinion, you're not talking a huge difference between playing a regular course or going, kick it up a notch and go to a Whiskey Creek or the Musket Ridge or one of those, you know, some of the other nicer courses that are around.
Bully Rock, what you're trying to get to. So, yeah, you're saying that the difference in price is not, it's exponential. You get a much better course for, you know, extra $25.
Well, and then you take into account too. I mean, that Whiskey, you know, included with the price with your greens fees, you get a bucket of range balls too. And so, and then you get the experience. And I mean, it's just, you know, if you, like LB said, if you're talking about the difference between $25 and $30, you know, why not? So I'm gonna give it.
And to your point though, but you said you get a bucket of balls. No, you don't. You get there are unlimited range balls out there.
Oh, right. Yeah. At Whiskey, you just go up there and you just go. No, you're right. And so for my grade, my golf DMV grade on Whiskey Creek is definitely 100% A. If you're in the area, like Vern said, make it a trip out there, a birthday round. Matter of fact, when we were recording, you'll hear it in the top of the next hour, there was somebody who was celebrating their birthday with a round at Whiskey Creek. But that's what you do. You know, if it's a special round with his birthday, whether some folks are coming in from out of town, they play golf, they want to have a really good time, take them to Whiskey Creek. They won't be disappointed. I give it an A. Vern, you're great. Then LB will take yours.
Yep, same thing, Claude. A grade. Like you're saying, good place to go visit with your serious golf friends, and you know, say get some beautiful views, a beautiful course. And to be fair, for a course that's very hilly and beautiful, it's fair. It's not crazy difficult. It's not going to beat you down. So absolutely, 100% A. Go play it.
Yeah, I give it an A too.
Wait a minute. This is a golf DMV first.
I don't normally give out A's. I know.
I don't think you've ever given out an A except for the conservatory in Florida.
Yeah.
I don't think you've ever given out an A.
No, I probably haven't.
Wow.
It deserves an A. I mean, it really does. And are we going to talk about my eagle shot? Are we going to talk about my eagle?
Oh, see, see how, okay.
My eagle attempt, I should say.
Well, why don't we? Go right ahead. Talk about your eagle attempt.
So that was, so par, number 18 is a par five. You have to hit down past that structure. What is that anyway?
Right,
that,
like a little half house or little, you know, something, yeah. Some remnants, yeah, of some old structure in the middle of the fairway.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think it might be historic too. I think it has some historical value or whatever, but we all hit great drives and we all hit, but I think you were the only one in the fairway, right, Vern?
You guys were close.
We were close. Yeah, we were like maybe a foot off into the rough, but that does not count as a fairway hit,
right.
You know,
right.
Fairway. So we get out there. It was 200 yards to the flag, I think 211 to the flag or something like that, and 180 to get to the front of the green. But I think you two bailed out, if I remember correctly. You all didn't take the challenge.
No, we laid up. I bailed out, yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Accidentally laid up.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
That's right.
Like, Vern purposely laid up. I was going for the green, but chunked it and laid up. And then LB says, I'm going for it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I hit a really nice hybrid, and it went over. I actually went past the flag. I was probably maybe 4 or 5 feet off of the green into the rough,
mm-hmm,
for an eagle, an eagle chip, of which I hit it like a little girl.
No disrespect to little girls who play golf.
Yeah. Very disappointed in myself on that that eagle attempt. It didn't even get up. Did it get to the green? No, it didn't even get to the green. No,
yeah,
it chunked it. Yeah, it chunked and stayed in the fringe, and then I two putt for a par. So it was just, I was happy to actually have the opportunity, because I don't get an opportunity to even attempt an eagle very often. So I was happy that I was able to put two shots together to get over there. And disappointed with the two subsequent shots.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you did it. But
all in all,
it was a great day. I'm glad we went out again. Service was spectacular. The day was a beautiful day, too. It had rained the night before, at least up in my... I live in Damascus. It had rained up my way. So I assume they got some rain, too. But it was a beautiful, beautiful course, you know, beautiful day. I definitely enjoyed it.
Absolutely. So Whiskey Creek gets a golf DMV top course in the DMV. And I think what we're going to do at the end of this season, by the way, folks, is we're going to rate courses and probably send like a we'll do a golf DMV top five courses of 2019. And we'll send plaques to some of these courses and let you know what we recommend as our top five in 2019. Coming up after the top of the hour news, our interview with Ted Goodnow. He's the GM there at Whiskey Creek. Going to have a lot of fun with him. Check it out. This is Golf DMV on Federal News Network, 1500 AM, Podcast One, and golfdmvpodcast.com. Hey, everybody. It's Claude from Golf DMV on 1500 AM Federal News Network and Podcast One. I want to invite you to join myself and Kevin Stanfield for the Federal Football Report this football season. Join us at 7 p.m. following the Redskins game. Whether it's a Sunday game, you'll catch us on Monday night. If it's a Thursday game, you can catch us on Friday night. And if it's a Monday night game, find us on Tuesday night. You get the drift, right? Again, that's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network on 1500 AM.
This is Golf DMV. This is Golf DMV.
Welcome back, everybody, to the second segment of Golf DMV on 1500 AM Federal News Network. Also, golfdmvpodcast.com. I mean, you can listen on Podcast One and all the other little channels you get your podcasts from. So we're at Whiskey Creek recording live. I mean, we're not in studio. This is Golf DMV. We go
outside on the patio.
We play golf, and then we do the podcast and the radio show from...
Wherever we are.
Exactly. Yeah. And where we are today, as you all know from the first segment, we're at Whiskey Creek. We're actually outside on the patio, and we're at the spot where we've got some guys here. They're playing golf. I think they're making a turn, right, gentlemen?
Yep.
Okay, cool. What's your name?
Eric.
We've got Eric and yours.
Jason.
Eric and Jason. Whiskey Creek, the best,
right?
Oh, and
his birthday. Happy birthday.
Whose birthday is it?
Happy birthday.
Oh, nice. All right. Out on the birthday,
you
playing
guys
around.
Let them win?
Oh, for sure, yeah. All right.
Nice. And so we're at the turn stand where you can, you know, you place your order in at the tee box on 9. You come up here, you get it, and you go finish.
Keep it moving.
So we're at Whiskey Creek. We're with the general manager, Ted Goodnow, here. Thank you so much for your time, Ted. I really appreciate it.
He just told you. He just told you.
He just told me.
Either or.
He just told me.
I'm here for you.
Ted Goodnow. Thank you so much for joining us, Ted. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for coming out, guys.
Oh, yeah. So before we get into Whiskey Creek and a lot of things happening here, just a little bit about yourself. Did you grow up in the D.C. Metropolitan area?
Yes and no. Not really. I moved here when I was in grade school to Vienna, Virginia.
Okay.
That was in Tyson's Corner, basically. There was nothing there. It was a crossroads.
Yep. It's so different now.
Yeah.
And they're still building stuff.
Right, with the Silver Line and everything.
Yeah. So they used to, where Tyson's is and all the high rides, they used to race motorcycles back in 72.
Oh, wow.
So nice. That's how.
Did you used to race motorcycles?
No. We just go up there and watch them. It was a dirt bikes. And
LB would be interesting.
I was going to say, that's my thing.
Yeah, so there was nothing there. And then, obviously, it's turned into what it is. Mm-hmm. I moved up here to this area, and I live about 3 miles down the road in 93, and this was all farmland. This wasn't here. None of the golf courses were here. It was, you know, maybe it's me. I'm wherever I go, they develop. So now Urbana is there with all the big development. They put another development behind our
They're doing a lot of building in Urbana, by the way. I was shocked.
Absolutely.
They are, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've been with Whiskey Creek essentially since 03, and this is a Kemper Sports owned property.
Actually
I was hired as the membership director over at Holly Hills, which is
in Columbia.
No, it's actually a mile and a half over the tree line right over there. You can see Holly it from Hills. 70.
Okay.
Oh, that you might one. Be thinking okay. about Hobbit's Glen or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So yeah. That's the par. It's the short course.
No, not that one. It's an 18-hole country club.
Strike two. You got it all wrong today. Yeah. What in the world is this drink?
It's right off of 70. You can see it from 70.
Yes, you can.
Right.
Yeah, that's the one. Okay. You got that right.
Yeah, fall back.
Okay. Okay.
So anyway, I was and I had have a sales background, and I got out of the previous company I was in and was lucky enough to get hired over there as a membership director. A year after I was there in 03, and again, these two courses are owned by Kemper.
Okay.
The outing director moved on, and I said I can do both jobs. So
nice.
For twice the pay.
Well, no. It never really works out.
Let's just leave it. I can do both jobs.
But, you know, it's commission-based. So, anyway, we grew the outing sales here. And in 09, another turnover occurred here, and I put my hat into the ring for the general manager. So in 09, I became general manager and stopped doing the membership over there. Okay. And so I've been here since 09.
Cool. Nice. Cool.
Awesome. Nice. Yeah. So talk a little bit about your golf career. Do you play?
I do. And what got me into this business was I was in a delivery logistics sales position as a sales manager, and I needed to get out of that. And I loved golf.
Right.
And I when we moved out here, Little Bennett right down the road.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my favorite. Oh.
Yeah, it was just opening up. Okay. So I was a regular there.
Okay.
Well, every 2 weeks.
It's such a tough course.
Yeah.
It's Little Bennett.
Yeah, it's tough. A lot of those downhill par threes are, can't figure out what to hit.
Can't see anything.
So I was, I think you were over at Hampshire Greens.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talking to Bobby Ashton.
Yeah. So we were supposed to talk to Bobby, but Bobby wasn't able to join us.
Okay.
Yeah. Bobby?
I know Bobby.
Can you please send him an angry text and say, you know, the golf DMV guys are nice guys.
I don't want to.
Why weren't you on the show?
Well, he was at Little Ben. He opened up he would do lessons all day long.
Oh, nice.
Okay. I've taken a few lessons from him, and at the time I wasn't in the golf business, but like I said, in 02, got hired over there at Holly Hills as the membership director. Mm-hmm. Just sales, and they needed a membership, somebody to sell a membership, so I said I can, you know,
right.
It seems pretty easy.
Right.
So anyway, I used to play Little Bennett all the time, and occasionally then, you know, PBDI opened up, Worthington Manor opened up, and then Whiskey Creek opened up. Yeah. So, you know, all of a sudden we're in, you know.
listen, if you're listening to Golf DMV, whether on 1500 AM and you got folks coming in from out of town, or you're listening online or on the podcast, we've got people all over the country. I mean, from Oregon, California, Florida, Texas, a lot of people all over the country listening. And you come to the DMV, those courses that Ted just named, from Little Bennett, PB Dive, of course, Whiskey Creek. I mean, you can't go wrong if you're visiting this area playing those courses.
Yeah, probably a top five. I mean, not you know, maybe Bully Rock's in there, but probably a top five for with just those three.
So, well, we draw. Most people come out here. This is their one or two, three special rounds for the year, and they're driving 60 minutes plus to get here. Yep. So we're pulling, you know, 50% of my customers come from, Washington Metro
the DMV.
Area.
Wow. Right. Yeah, no, absolutely.
So back, you know, I'm not a PGA professional. Okay. I got in through a different route, basically. But I do love golf, and that's how I got it. I started researching, you know, what can I do to get into the golf business? And, you know, all of a sudden, this job posted on the PGA website, the employment section, for a membership director at Holly Hills Country Club, and about fell on my chair because it was, you know, right down the road.
Right.
Sat in front of the guys until they hired me.
So, I got to try that next time I'm trying to look for employment. Yeah. Just don't leave the chair.
That's sales. That's sales, man. That's sales.
There you go.
Somebody's going to give me a yes.
Absolutely. It's Golf DMV on 1500 AM, also on Podcast One. You can get all the information on golfdmvpodcast.com. We're here with Ted Goodno. He's a GM here at Whiskey Creek. And so we just got finished playing around. We're out here on the patio, man. And this is nine.
Yes, nine is here and 18 to the left.
To our left.
Right.
And, I mean, just a beautiful course. Talk a little bit about, you know, what it takes to keep a course in really good condition. Like, because, I mean, Whiskey Creek has a – because okay, so you get some courses that come out in the DMV, and they're new, and they're hot, and then in 3 years it's like – ran down, you know. But Whiskey Creek has the reputation of always being in great condition. I know Vernon and Lawrence has played here before. This was my first time coming.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Right.
I mean, unbelievable. Right. Talk about just what it takes to do that.
Well, a lot of hard work, a lot of hours. You know, a great superintendent. We're lucky enough to have one of those, and he's been here a while, almost maybe a couple months longer than I have.
Okay.
Specifically but, you know, it beyond that, back that up, it's Kemper Sports Management that gives us the direction, and they know how to operate and run golf courses very successfully. And I, you know, I report to the president of the company. So we have a lot of, and this is one of their own properties, which puts a lot of pressure on us to perform, obviously. And it's, you know, my superintendent is attending a wedding, and my assistant superintendent was out there, you know, at 5-6 o'clock in the evening last night.
Wow.
Watering the greens, getting some of the stuff done, so he didn't have to do a lot of it this morning. So he's already, you know, he's here at sunup, and those guys are almost 24/7. But it takes a lot of hard work, dedication. You have to love, whether you're at the back of the house, the kitchen, or the front of the house, or in the pro shop, or the guys out there, and they're out there in the sun all day long.
Right.
You love what you do. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to, you know, be out here 7 days a week. And they are, and a lot of us are. We're very customer service oriented, an in-house training program that everybody goes through. And because that's one thing we can control, how we treat people. And
I'm sorry, I'm not meaning to cut you off. I'm just want to hammer home that point about we've noticed that in playing all the courses in this area that customer service can be that extra edge. We always talk about Blue Mash, how they bring the food out to you. Earlier today, I left my 4-iron on the range and it was in the middle of hole
one.
Wait
a minute, I'm sorry. Let's rewind that. Well, earlier today, we started a round. Well, we won two or one?
We were on one.
He
remembered it, though, after our second shot. After our second
shot. Because
you needed
it. Right. After I effed up my drive, I rested. Oh, I need a 4-iron. It's not here. So, anyway.
Let's not move from that too fast. Now, how long have you been playing?
Wait a minute. Well, you needed a 4-iron for your second shot on two?
So
I'm sorry.
Look, since we're going there.
Yeah, well, all right, no. Don't worry about it. Don't explain it. Just go ahead. Hey, you were mentioning customer service.
Yeah, I totally fell off there. No. Hit a bad shot. But as I remember, I needed my forearm. I'm probably riding back maybe not 30 seconds when one of the younger gentlemen just pulled right up around the corner and just popped up and said, "Hey, you looking for the forearm?" I said, "Yeah." Bang. Customer service. What you're talking about. Again, saved me. Yeah, saves us time for him to go back and look forward and have to deal with people. I like what you said about you can control how you treat people.
That's huge for us because, like you were saying, we played at some places where the course is not bad, but the service sucked. You know what I mean? So then I'm not coming back.
Right.
It's very simple. I'm not coming back. I'm not giving you $80 for that.
As operators, we don't know. You know, everything counts to the customer. Every little detail. Yep. You don't know what might not. Be the right
them
thing.
Off.
Yes, exactly. So you've got to cover all your bases. Yeah, you know, absolutely. You're not, you can't cover all of them. There are problems, but we do a survey. We get the results back, and people that want to talk about their experience can, you know, click a button and ask for a call back. So I call them back and discuss things, and you know, invite them back and try to make things right for them. So from beginning to end, we try to.
Mm-hmm. Take note of other courses.
Yeah, no.
I'm not calling anybody out.
It's important, though. I mean, customer service is important. Because folks pay a lot of money to play golf. Yeah. You know what I mean? They work hard. They earn this money. They could be spending their time and their money somewhere else. And so if they're coming to your course, you know, respect their time and respect their money, which Whiskey Creek does, you know, a great job
Thank you.
And so when it comes to the course itself, just talk a little bit about it. I mean, someone is listening to the show right now. They've never played out here. What can they expect when they come out to Whiskey Creek?
Well, I think in comparison to other golf courses, it's fair. It's not too complicated. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the right word.
Right.
Everything is right there in front of you. There's not a lot of blind shots.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's true. That's true. Thank goodness.
Those are tough, especially for the, you know, if you haven't played out here ever, or you're maybe coming back after around maybe a year ago.
Right.
You know exactly know where to hit it. We do have the GPS on the golf cart, which is
makes a huge difference. Yes. Mm-hmm. Sure huge
does.
Difference.
It speeds sure up does. Play probably
it,
too.
It helps across the board with everything. But you can see where you need to hit the golf ball, as opposed to, well, there's this big, huge feature out there. It's a bunker. It's a rock wall. It's a cliff or something. Mm-hmm. And you don't know how far away that is.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. You think you have this little sliver and then the ball disappears and you don't know where it is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. You know, the condition, we try to – and we have everybody out there trying to help people along. We do our best – to try to move people around in a reasonable fashion. I think you guys might have finished in 4 hours and 10 minutes, 4 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah, just about. Yeah, just under. And I was telling LB earlier on the cart that even if you can't have, I don't know, the GPS is a godsend, but I really like this course and other courses that have it where they show you
where you're at.
How far you're at, pace of play, because I feel like for groups are a little bit slower, they pick it up a little bit. It makes you aware without the marshal having to come right and have that awkward conversation.
Right.
Hey,
yes.
You're dragging.
you're slowing down every
and
night.
Hopefully the starter. Hopefully mentioned it in his speech.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, by the way, yes, the starter, Jay.
Jay.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, man, really, really good.
Yeah, I almost needed a chair, though, because it's a long speech.
Listen, very thorough.
Yeah,
covered everything.
Yeah, we needed the people we needed the band at the Grammys who play the music when you're talking too long. But he was good, though. No, he was great. He was fun.
I'm on the radio and talk to Jay. Cut in half.
I love Jay. Jay was fun. He started the round. Yeah, no, he was wonderful.
Because he said, we want to radio.
Yeah. I guess he was auditioning for the show, maybe.
Can I ask what your favorite hole is?
My favorite hole, I'm left-handed.
Another one.
Beautiful. My brother. Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Best so friend. I'm going to say 9.
Okay.
Because I can, if I can draw one down kind of around the turn.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if I can hit the slope right and get roll, I can
get home in two.
Get on in two.
Yes,
and,
sir.
Either have a shot at eagle or make a birdie. But, you know, that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Like somebody at this table had a shot at eagle but didn't make it.
Didn't make it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wonder who that was.
Yeah.
Speaking. Absolutely. It's funny because golf is one of the only games of things in life where you're like, well, if I did it and then if and then if and then if, then maybe.
Yeah, then maybe. Right, right.
There's so many ifs involved. It's crazy. And so a little bit of rapid fire. If you could go around a course, 18 holes, but you could only take 3 clubs with you, which 3 would it be?
maybe a 7-iron, mm-hmm. And the putter, mm-hmm. and maybe a wedge.
Sweet.
Yeah, okay. I think, you know, you could 7-iron your way.
Yeah.
Two shots yeah. down at par 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, off the
Absolutely.
Box.
And yep. then wedge in and maybe get close and have a crack mm-hmm. at a par.
Nice. That's mm-hmm. awesome. Nice. Whisker Creek could host 4 current PGA Tour players. Which 4 would it be?
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Well, Jordan Spieth.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have a soft spot for him, although he's kind of...
Loser.
He hasn't been the same since that Masters blow-up.
Yeah. I mean, actually, yeah. he was in contention yesterday.
He
and
was.
Then he
was.
Yeah. He shot what like happened?
Plus 4 or something. Yeah, yeah.
I will never forget how he looked putting that green jacket on, and I think it was the Sergio one. I can't remember. But I mean, he was just so distraught that he gave it up. It was it was hard to watch.
It
I mean,
was.
You know,
yeah, it is. It's kind of
Except
hard.
For the fact that I think it was weeks before, wasn't it the press conference? Oh, no, it was the year after where he said...
Where he said, people fear me coming up.
Yeah, golfers. I strike fear in the hearts of golfers when they see
I was like, no. I was like, don't look at it. You don't call attention to it. You're not other people. Because he was that guy for a while. When you saw his name on the board.
Yeah. But so speak
so, for yeah. Well, this is an Ernie Els design golf course. So okay. Maybe we got to get
Big Easy.
In there.
Yeah. Big Easy.
That's your guy, LB.
Yeah, I like the Big Easy.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's old.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, everybody loves him.
He said my favorite.
Yeah, exactly.
He would only show up 5 minutes before his tee time.
Yeah, well, right
out of the gym. Shake a couple hands. Shake a couple hands and go to the first tee.
Brush his girlfriend off. Get away from me. I'm about to play.
So anybody else in the top 10?
Okay.
Well, we'll get Jack out here.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Lee and some of the old time mm-hmm. guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you get Ricky out here, you get a bunch of kids.
Can I get an eight?
Orange.
How about?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Two like 24 guys. Nah, I keep going.
Top 24.
So there's a lot of good things happening here at Whiskey Creek. Mm-hmm. You had mentioned Barstool Sports was here for an
They
event,
were here
right?
Friday, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what was that all about?
Well, they're doing a kind of more on this on the East Coast. They're doing 10 events. Mm-hmm. We were lucky enough to be chosen for the D.C. area, the DMV.
Right.
They are everybody. It's a two-man best ball event, and they're the winners are going to go to. I think it's yet to be determined. Course to vie for. I think a $10,000.
Oh,
That's such
prize.
A big deal too for Barstool
yeah,
Sports to have
come to your spot
for the DMV.
Yeah, that's outstanding.
Yeah, we were extremely grateful that mm-hmm. they chose us. So it was successful. Mm-hmm. Everybody had a great time.
Cool.
Not too much. Happened that was out of the, you know.
That was my only concern. I was like, yeah, you need, I know they're going to turn up a little bit. They're going to turn up a little bit. I was just going to ask, so if you had to recommend a course to play for somebody here that's not Whiskey Creek, so kind of going outside your own, like where?
I don't think I can answer that question.
Oh, okay. Good answer.
Nice.
He's spoken like a true salesman.
No, yeah. And, you know, two things about Whiskey Creek, though. You know, for some people in the DMV, the price point might be a little high. Mm-hmm. Just talk a little bit about the value that you get with the money that you pay. Because you even mentioned that, you know, mm-hmm. for a lot of people, it's there once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to go here once, you know, or twice. Yeah,
right.
They mm-hmm. may not be able to afford to play here twice a week.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Mm-hmm. Talk about the value that you get here.
Sure. I think it's an you mentioned we're sitting here at 9 and 18. You know, the setting.
Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the mountains.
The mountains, the drive in, the anticipation, yeah. you're yep. kind of driving out of
That's
the.
That's true.
Yep.
The,
mm-hmm.
the, I felt the it trop. This morning. I
yeah.
felt it this
and
morning.
And you get here and you slowly civilization kind of starts
disappears.
To fade away.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're mm-hmm. in the cornfields and uh-huh. you get here and there's a golf course. This clubhouse is unique, we think. The porch, very comfortable.
Absolutely.
And then it's designed so that everything flows down to the clubhouse.
Right,
most
right.
golf courses, mm-hmm. think about it, you're sitting up on top of a hill
right.
and everything is below
Flows
you.
Away. That's true. Exactly.
They designed this so that everything
comes down.
Down
to you.
It does.
Okay.
No,
so,
you're right.
Yeah, good point.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we have the GPS, which is one of the top-of-the-line mm-hmm. systems out there in the marketplace.
Yep.
We have the golf carts that we have. They're mm-hmm. the, you know, they're lithium batteries, although you don't really notice that, but they're electric. We try to keep things quiet.
Right.
You can hear
I notice.
Out mm-hmm. there in the woods.
Yeah.
And that's especially important to Lawrence, yeah. who will yell at us if we bring a Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah,
to
I don't yeah. do the music. Musical carts.
All right,
no, I didn't come out here for that.
Yeah. Well, there are, you know, I had a choice to get golf carts that have, you know, everything on it.
Yeah.
You know, the speakers. And I said, no.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We do have people that bring their speakers. We just ask them to keep it in a respectable volume.
Right.
The food and beverage, the bar, the selection of whiskeys, obviously Whiskey Creek, wide selection of beer, and back to the customer service. We think it all, you know, and the conditions of the golf course.
Range balls included.
Other courses, take notes.
I was going to say, don't take for granted, because within 10 or 15% of the green fees, there are many courses where it's like, no, it's, you know, it's
$90. Yeah, you have to pay an extra $5 or $7.
Yeah, we need $10.
Yeah. Okay. It's the little things, man. It's the really little things. I mean, range balls are, to me, if I'm paying anywhere north of $75, in my opinion, range balls should be included. I mean, what does it cost you? Come on, man.
Let me just say this. I mean, if you're in the DMV and you're not like a member of like a really fancy kind of club,
right?
I mean, Whiskey Creek is somewhere where you come, you pay the extra money,
right?
You know, you pay an extra $35-$40 or whatever,
right?
And you get the feel of, you know, for a day
exclusive.
What's I'm like a, to member be a member of just a top notch club.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's the the club, Whiskey Creek Golf Club. So kind of a misnomer, but you know, We try to treat people like this is their country club.
Outstanding.
Absolutely. Yeah. So before we let you go, your quick 30, 45-second pitch for someone listening. They're on the fence. Oh, maybe I should try whiskey. I'll book a tea time. What's your pitch to them?
Well, come on out and give us a try. I don't think you'll be disappointed. Really don't. You know.
The only thing you'll be disappointed in is your score. If you're not good.
If you're not good.
It's the only thing I left disappointed about.
You know, we're all in that where if you're not watching us on TV on the weekends, we're, you know.
That's true. If I was good, I'd be on TV.
Exactly. There we go. Well, Todd Goodnell, thank you so much for your time. Won't be the last time we play whiskey. I know these guys played before first time.
Definitely want me to come back.
Absolutely. That we do it again.
Well, great.
And everybody listening to the podcast and to the radio, thank you so much for listening to another edition of the Golf DMV show on 1500 AM Federal News Network. The website, golfdmv.com. Also, Lawrence is handing me this card. You can get in contact with us. So, golfdmvpodcast.com is the website. Also, golfdmvpodcast@gmail.com is the email address. Golf DMV Podcast on Instagram, Golf DMV on Facebook, and Golf DMV 1 on Twitter.
And don't forget, go to the website and buy something.
Buy a shirt, buy a hat, buy a bag. Also, we got a hat and a bag for you as well, Todd. So thank you so much for
Ted.
Twice, Claude.
Why am I doing that?
Three times. Let it go the first time. I mean, you said it real quick. I was like, I'm not going to go.
Seriously?
Yeah.
No. I don't even pay attention to what I'm saying.
That's all right.
It's all good.
You had the course.
You got a lot of words up there.
Ted, I'm sorry. Yeah, just a lot.
I've been called a lot worse.
Yeah, me too. And I'll be called worse by you after the show is over. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll catch up next week.
I wish you guys nothing but best. The ceiling is the roof.
Hey, everybody. It's Claude from Golf DMV on 1500 AM Federal News Network and Podcast One. I want to invite you to join myself and Kevin Stanfield for the Federal Football Report this football season. Join us every day at 7 p.m. following the Redskins game to break down everything Washington Redskins, burgundy and gold. And we're bringing back for a third season America's favorite segment, Fake News or Not. Again, that's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network on 1500 AM.